We recognize the inherent dignity of all human beings, including ourselves.
We recognize the inherent imperfection of all human beings, including ourselves.
We welcome the continuing process of learning and growth.
We welcome circumstances that help us learn and grow, even when the circumstances are not of our own design.
We celebrate the human ability to create meaning, even out of difficult situations.
We celebrate the triumph of the human spirit that sees difficult situations as opportunities for transformation.
We gather in community, cherishing the diversity of perspective that makes creative interchange possible.
We gather in community, cherishing the reality that disagreement need never imply disrespect.
For fears that made us suspicious, rigid, or inaccessible, we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love.
For assumptions that led to anger without just cause, we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again with love.
For actions without compassion, we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love.
For even once losing sight of our unity, we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love.
Today we reaffirm our mutual commitment to remain engaged and loving toward one another.
So that whenever we fall short of this covenant, we will work to restore our relationships, recommit to our promises, and begin again in love.
When my children were little, I found in a dollar store some coffee mugs that said on it a quote from Albert Einstein, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." And the picture on the mug was a picture of a tightrope walker who had a bar, a stick, that he was using for balance. And the end of the stick was the point of a pencil. And the tightrope walker had the pencil angled up so that the pencil point was drawing the tightrope. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is the past. Knowledge is from our learning and experience. And that's important. Knowledge is important, but it's imagination that helps us to see just beyond the horizon, not to see it, but to imagine what's there, to imagine the life we long for, to imagine the world we long for. I got that mug for my children so I could give them hot chocolate in a mug that would always remind them that they possess the power to find the path to the future they can imagine. And you know, we know that knowledge is important, and we know that learning is important. We know that experience is important, but we often forget that imagination is also important. We often forget that it is our vision of what the future could be that helps us to find that path that empowers us to be part of the process of drawing that line that moves over the horizon and into what we hope will be. So when change comes into our lives, that's when we most need vision. And that's exactly when it can be most difficult to find. We get caught up in the experience of change, the chaotic sensation. Suddenly things are different. And so there is this time, an interim time, before we've really been able to settle ourselves and get back to imagining where we want our lives to go. It's true in congregations as well. And that's why we call this time, when I'm here to serve you for 2 years, we call it the interim. It's the time in between, a time when things are unsettled, a time when it can be difficult for a congregation to cope with the change that they just experienced. And so that's why I'm here as your interim senior minister. I'm here to share the journey with you for the next 2 years as you grapple with the changes that you've just experienced and you begin again to draw that path to the church that you long for the world that you long for. And this morning I have a few important things I want to just lay out right away. First of all, I am not Mark Bellatini. You know, I'm sure you could figure that out because he's a lot taller and I have more hair. But nowhere in the world is there another Mark Bellatini. We all know that. What a treasure and gift he has been to this congregation, and as a colleague, he's been to me and to the Unitarian Universalist Association. What a gift. But this is also important. If we love Mark, if we want to honor him and his ministry here at First UU, the best way to honor his ministry is to make sure that his legacy is a thriving, healthy congregation that goes on and on and on in the future to thrive and grow and do good in the world. That's what you can do to honor Mark. Think about it. Mark has done what he can to ensure that that's his legacy, and he's retired now. So he can't do it. And I can't do it. But you can do it. For the next 2 years, our journey together will help to ensure that the future of First UU honors the partnership that you and Mark forged together. Our work, is to prepare First UU for an effective partnership with a new senior minister, but more important, to move from this moment of confusion and chaos that change brings, and to begin again to find not only an equilibrium, but a vision of what will be, a vision of the church that you long for. Now, I think it's only fair to answer a few questions that I'm imagining may be in your mind. And one is, why am I doing interim ministry? Why move from place to place? Why come to a place where everything is completely new? And I want you to know, I am really, in this moment, experiencing this setting, your faces, the way the windows are and the light comes in, all of it as completely new and different. And, of course, you're experiencing me as completely new and different. And in this moment of newness and difference, you know, it seems to me that the question is quite reasonable. Why do this? Why move from place to place every year or two and inflict this change on myself? Well, I want you to know that once I got a fortune cookie that said on that little slip of paper inside, life to you is a bold adventure. And I thought that was really true. So I taped it up on my wall. And then I moved, you know, and I lost it. And about 12 years later, I got a fortune cookie, and I opened it up, and it said, life to you is a bold adventure. So I get that message. And it's really true of me, and one of the things I consider to be an adventure in life is this work in interim ministry, to go from place to place, to learn about a new congregation, to see who you are, and to walk the journey with you. And I'm motivated not just out of my sense of adventure, but because I want Unitarian Universalism to flourish in our world. About 20 years ago, people started figuring out that congregations need an effective transition between settled ministers, especially those who have been settled for a long time, to go on to an effective new partnership with a minister. It's most obvious when there's been difficulty that some kind of buffer or transition or interim might be needed. But really, it can be harder for a congregation to attach to a new minister when the one who just retired is dearly beloved. So that started maybe 20 years ago. And even just 10 years ago, the people who study congregations have figured out all kinds of things about what happens during that interim time. And they have good reasons for why the interim period is 2 years instead of 1 or 6 months or 3 years. So that's the time when there's an amazing change in people's emotions and there's a need to sort of reorient. So here's the thing. A congregation is a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle. So imagine, you know, the jigsaw puzzle complete on the table and marks the piece right in the middle. And now we take that piece out and set it aside. And we're looking for a new piece to put in that place, that space, that gap. So I show up. And I don't actually fit into the same space because I'm not the same. And have you ever put a jigsaw puzzle together and you've got a piece you're sure is going to fit and you sort of jam it in? So I'm very clear that there are going to be some gaps where the piece that's my shape doesn't quite fit, and there are going to be other parts where it sort of overlaps in unpleasant ways. And one of the things we'll do together on this journey of transition, we'll discover what those gaps are and what those overlaps are, and we'll discover how we cope with those differences. Basically, you get to practice on me. Because 2 years from now, a new senior minister will be settled. You'll have a wonderful experience of candidating week and the call of a new minister. And you'll discover that that minister also does not fit into that jigsaw puzzle shape, that puzzle piece shape, that not only did Mark vacate, but that I'll vacate. And so you'll have to go through the adjustments again. But it will be fresh in your mind that this is something that always happens when a new settled minister, a new minister comes in, a new puzzle piece arrives to try to fit into that space. And we'll also have worked on our healthy processes for coping with what's different and what's new. So it's very important as we start off that you not hesitate to talk to me about something you saw that you didn't understand that I did, something I did that you were concerned about. Because 9 times out of 10, I'm not trying to upset the apple cart. What I'm trying to do is just be me, the minister I am, the person I am, and to fit into the space and learn how to make the adjustments that are needed, because the fit is never going to be exactly right. To this effort, I bring some life lessons. One of the most important life lessons I bring is receptivity. In T.S. Eliot's poem about beginnings, there's another part of it that we didn't read this morning. It's a very long poem, but a good one. I really recommend it to you. Little Giddings. There's a part that says, we're not here on this earth to verify, instruct, inform, or report. Instead, we're here on earth to be fully present to one another, to be receptive to one another, to receive as if wherever we're standing is holy ground. And so the life lesson I bring is that I walk in here to this place that's entirely new to me, and it is holy ground, and I am here to receive. And so as I embark on this journey with you, I'll be seeking to learn your inner truth, to see each of you as you are, as individuals, and all of you as you are as a congregation, and not supply the answers in advance. Now, at the end of this 2-year period, this transition we're in, I'll preach a farewell sermon that will also be called Beginning Again. And I'll explain then the life lessons I've learned from being with you, what I've learned from my time with you. And some of the things that I expect to learn, and what I'll be looking for, is how you are actively in covenant with one another, how you deal with the need to begin again in love. I'll learn here how people here deal with confusion and disagreement and difference. That's what we're experiencing now. Confusion, sometimes disagreement. It's inevitable when people are getting to know one another. And, of course, difference. And I'll learn how people here go about learning new things. I'll see that happening. And along the way, I'll come to understand, and all of us will come to understand, how those jigsaw pieces fit together. But most important, how people here adapt and flourish when change reverberates through the congregation. And the one thing in all that's ahead of us that we can be absolutely certain of is that I will not be the next settled senior minister, because it's in my contract that I can't be. My work is to serve you in the interim. That's the one thing we know. Everything else we are about to discover. And I look forward to this journey of discovery with you. One of the things that is especially meaningful to me about work in transition is that the transitional time in a congregation's life offers also an opportunity to deepen our understanding of the transitions we encounter in our personal lives. Transition in ministry resonates with the process of transition in life. We can form lasting bonds with other people, with other human beings, only if we're open to learning their inner truth. That's this receptivity I was talking about. And that's true in our personal lives as it is in congregational life. The I Ching has what I consider to be quite an amusing sequence about pigs and fishes trying to live together and get along. And I Ching points out that pigs and fishes are so inherently different, they cannot imagine one another's lives. They cannot see one another clearly. Pigs and fishes. Well, we don't want to be like pigs and fishes. And luckily, you know, there isn't anyone here who can't breathe air. You know, there are no water dwellers among us. So we at least start on that common ground. But one of the things that the I Ching goes on to point out is that if a bond is based only on shared activity, you know, pigs like pigs, and they're happy wallowing in the mud, and fish like to swim, and they're happy in the water. But for human beings, a bond that's based only on shared activity or a shared point of view isn't based on inner truth. You know, we can do things together that are fun when we have a shared perspective or that are good, but in a way, those things are only based on happenstance or proximity or the opportunity or the encounter that says, oh, you think like I do. If we're really receptive to one another, really committed to learning the inner truth of one another on a deep level, that's when we build community. And it involves the creation of a lasting bond that isn't based on we think alike, or shared hobbies, shared theology, but on an understanding that we share values, but we may each be different in how we live those values out in the world. And so we have to create the lasting bond, we have to have respect for one another and a willingness to learn from one another, a willingness to understand that we can share values and yet have different perspectives and different opinions. And when we can reach beyond our own differences and form that lasting bond, that's when we not only deepen our relationships with one another and create a deep and lasting community, but we also model for the world how people who think differently, how people who inevitably are different from one another, can get along by receptivity to each other's inner truth, a willingness to learn from one another, acknowledging shared values, the love that unites us, even in the presence of different points of view. So this transition process is really built on the idea that a congregation learns difference readiness during a transition. During the interim period, this receptivity, not only to one another, but to the ways that I'm different, and my receptivity to you, my openness to your inner truth, that mutual willingness to be open and to learn is difference readiness, so that the congregation will be ready for the differences that a new settled senior minister will bring in 2 years. So the values that we live out in this transition demonstrate true acceptance of one another out of deep respect for each person's inherent worth. That sounds like a Unitarian Universalist value to me. If we're living our values, that respect becomes visible in the way that we engage with one another. If we live as if we expect to learn from our differences rather than criticizing those differences, then we start to treat difference as a creative opportunity, an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow, and maybe more than anything, an opportunity to build community by seeing one another clearly. Not seeing the pig or the fish, but seeing the inner truth of each person whose eyes we meet. So onward we go together, and I bring to you receptivity and commitment to this transition process. I bring experience and training. I bring love for you, for Unitarian Universalism, for what we undertake as a congregation to make a difference in the world and to model how people can think differently and yet get along. I also bring all of my being, all of who I am. And with all of my being, I want the best for this vibrant and warm congregation now, during this transition, and in days to come, long after I'm gone, as First UU lives into a shared vision of the future, a vision that you'll be drawing as you walk the path and use the pencil point of your balance bar to draw the path ahead of you. We can't do that unless we work together on a shared vision, unless we're willing to imagine what the future could be and the world we long for. And then we start to find that path. We'll begin those first steps together during this interim journey. And it is my honor and joy to walk with you as we go, finding our way along that beautiful tightrope of imagination, love, courage,